and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Hear this humble prayer. Make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. Lord, I come to you with a humble heart, seeking more of you, wanting less of me, wanting more of you. From my deepest parts, God of mercy, comes an urgent prayer that my heart's desire is to you draw near. Holy unto you, holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Kadosh, kadosh lecha. Hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lecha. I give myself to you on the altar laid. Spirit, come and fill so that I can more follow and obey. Let your light more shine in this wounded heart. Clean and purify so that you can more of yourself impart.
Make me kadosh, קדוש לך. Make me holy, make me holy.
It's not by power, not by your own might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. Shall be
she would have killed me. No in between.
Sometimes when you just don't have the right words.
Because if I got a V, it was not a V. My senior had 3 days.
Let me hear your voice.
Unacceptable.
That would have you a real start.
I do like introduction. We can start. Okay.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome. We're glad you're here today. My name is Anthony, and this is for Zion's Sake Ministries, Ari Yehuda, Messianic Jewish Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia. If you're here this morning, we welcome you. If you're live streaming, Facebooking, I'm not sure all the different places across the world, wherever you're at, we welcome you this morning to our service. It'll be a little different service this morning because I'll be handling the message this morning. Rabbi and Rebbetzin are out of town, and we're going to have special prayer for him shortly this morning when we do the prayer for Jerusalem. We'll end that with a corporate prayer, all of us praying for Rabbi and Rebbetzin as they come back from Florida. They're going to come back tomorrow. If you're on the prayer channel, then you've got some information about what happened in Florida, and I'll just mention it briefly whenever we get to that point to pray for them, so it'll help you. But to continue to pray for them, and especially for Rabbi, because Donald is going to be flying, and they're traveling tomorrow, so he's asking our prayers today for that, for a safe trip and a trip without any pain, because it's not easy. Big guy like him getting in one of those airline seats, you know, it's a little difficult. If you got a long flight, it's hard. So this morning we're going to start off with Shabbat Shalom.
Hallelujah. Well, let's do some extreme worship today because I feel like it. Do you feel like it?
I'm feeling it.
All right, let's do it. Whether anybody joins me or not, I'm a worshiping. Oh, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey, Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey, Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Shabbat, Shalom.
We have been raised up with Messiah. We are seeking the things above. Where Messiah, our Lord, is seated. The right hand of God with our minds.
the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Asher Natalan Derech HaYeshua Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Okay, the next thing we've got is the counting of the Omer. There's four stalks up here, but we're actually in the, from yesterday, from last night, up into today, we're in the third week. So I will do the blessing and the counting of the Omer. I'll do the blessing first. Blessed are, oh, sorry, Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Asher Lo Tzlan Ubzuk, Berth Batah Vitah Tzavarat, Amon. Let me repeat that, I'm sorry. Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Asher Kizanu B'mitzvatah Vitzivanu, Al-Sifirat, Hi Omer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from, is sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. And here is the count of the Omer. It's the 21st day. Hayom Ikad Vesarim Vi Shahim Shi Shalosha Shavuot Lai Omer. Today is 3 Today is the third week of the Omer, which is 21 days. It's the number of days in the counting of the Omer. So that is the Omer count for this week. And it, of course, today we start the fourth week, which will be the 22nd day. Okay, we're going to, I guess, pray for Jerusalem is the next prayer. This morning also, I've got, let me just read you a little bit here. Rabbi wants us to pray for him this morning and also include Don in your prayers this morning. But I'll just read you a little bit of what he said. If you're on the prayer line and got the text message today, then you know more about what's going on. But he's finished apparently the testing at Mayo Clinic, and I won't go into all the things, but he's about 3 weeks out from, I guess, the analysis of what they found and how he's going to be treated and what they're going to recommend for him. They are flying home tomorrow, so he hopes that the flight tomorrow will be a lot easier than flying back to Florida, because like I was saying earlier, the Rabbi is a pretty good sized guy, so when you get in those little plane seats, you have to sort of crumple yourself up. So he's not able to stretch out unless they can get him somewhere where he can stretch his legs out a little bit. But he is going to be seeing another doctor this week here in Bristol, and so he's asking for prayer with his legs, especially so he can get back to Bristol and to get back some type of normalcy, seeing a doctor here in Bristol. So I'm sure he'll keep more information on the prayer line. So we're going to pray for him after we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Bill, would you like to pray for peace of Jerusalem? I'll bring you the phone. Bill Patisse is going to pray for Jerusalem.
Yeshua HaMashiach, we come to you thanking you for Jerusalem, thanking you for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we thank you and pray that you will keep them, that you will bless Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray that one day that you will return to Jerusalem to rule over the universe. And now we pray for the people there that they will receive you and receive their Messiah. Lord, we just pray and ask that you would bless the leaders there in Jerusalem, and that you would open the door so that more of the Messianics can get into Jerusalem. And we just pray that your mercy and your grace will be over Jerusalem, for we know that it is the apple of your eye, and we know that you're going to keep Jerusalem. And no matter what comes or what goes, Jerusalem will stand, and it will be here through all time and all eternity. So, Lord, again, we pray for Jerusalem. We thank you for Jerusalem. We thank you for Israel, and we ask that you would bless Israel in a special manner and bless us. This we ask in Yeshua's name and for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen. As a congregation, we're going to pray for Rabbi now. And if you want to specifically pray for him, just let me know, and I'll bring you the microphone, and you can pray. But he asked us to pray for him this morning, for him, and also I know his prayer is also for Dawn, as she's going to be, I'm sure, probably traveling also to fly. Heavenly Father, we just bring Rabbi Joseph and Rabbi Sandon before you this morning, Lord. You know, they're in Florida, Lord. He's seeking medical treatments. He's seeking help as far as what is causing his pain in the part that he's going through. This morning when he left me a message, it didn't sound very good. It just sounded like he was sort of beat down, actually, to be honest with you. It just sounded like he was very defeated this morning. But God's still on the throne, and God still has his hand upon Joe and Don. So this morning, Lord, we just asked you to meet them in Florida, Lord, right now, and to anoint him and both of them, Lord, and bring him some type of relief today, Lord. And when they get on that plane tomorrow, Lord, I just pray that he'll be given a whole row of seats that he can stretch out once the plane takes off and be able to get some comfort for his legs, because they are bothering him quite a bit this morning as they're, I guess, they're cramping and drawing, and that could be from some of the testing, because I think we know, Heavenly Father, that he was in the testing for several hours yesterday. So we just ask you this morning to mount up with healing in your wings, Lord, and you will touch him and bless him today, Lord, and lift him up, because he is your chosen servant, and he's here in Bristol. The Bells are here in Bristol to serve you and the people of Bristol in this community, Lord. So we thank you for bringing him here, Lord, and bringing Don. And we ask you, Lord, that your blessings will flow from heaven, and Rabbi will get an answer, and most of all, he will get a healing for his spine, his back, his hips, his knees, everything that he needs in his body, the leukemia, the cancer, Lord, that you will just touch it and give him a new body, Lord. That's very possible, Lord, that you'll touch him and heal him in such a way, Lord, that he will be a new person in you and have greater strength and vitality this morning, Lord. So we bless him this morning, and we ask your blessing upon them and also upon this congregation today. Shalom. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Anyone else want to pray? Okay, we're going to start with another song here. Music will start just momentarily. Okay, well, people want to rise. We'll do the Shema. We'll have to get the Shulchan, and I will have to get it ready. I've got the mats out, but I didn't have time to get the cups fixed. They won't take me just a minute. Okay, this morning. Thank you. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. That's the Shema. To that ancient prayer. Ain kamoka valim, Adonai valim, kamaset ka, malkut ka, ma'amit ko, oramin, umisharpa ka, bador, dor, bador, Adonai melech, Adonai melech, Adonai imlot, leoam ba'ed, Adonai os leomo, you retain, Adonai verech et the mova shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. So we're going to do Etz Chaim High, or I think that's on a recording, I believe. Etz Chaim High. Hey.
Etz Chaim La'azikiba Betom Pecha Be'usha Terach Eichar Kareinu Al Bechom Tivoteka Shalom Ashineinu Adon.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Okay, we're going to do the announcements. We have Shavuot will be coming up in probably about another month as we're carrying the Omer down, and we'll, once we get to the number 50, that'll be Shavuot. And I guess the only other announcement we're going to have is just to remember to pray for Rabbi Joseph for his healing, and also to pray for Dawn that she'll be able to assist him and continue to work flying an airplane. I'm not sure what kind of plane it is, but it's a big one, I guess. I'll say it's a big one. And it's a large plane. It's bigger than these little Pipers that has about two people in it. So we ask you to continue to pray for them, and just remember they're going to be traveling back tomorrow. So remember them especially, that he'll be able to make the flight and get some rest on the plane and be able to stretch his legs out a little bit, because some of those planes, the seat in front of you, your knees are like buried in it, so that's not very comfortable, and he's got rather long legs, so that's not very beneficial with the situation he's in, with his legs cramping and bothering him so much. So we just, that's the announcements for today. Now this morning anyway, and we're going to take up the morning's offering, tithes and offerings. And if you're online, you can, there's a link there you can click on, and you can make a contribution to us. We appreciate that. And so we'll just pray for the offering this morning. And you can bring your offering at that time, and we'll have just a brief moment or two there without anything going on until we can take our offerings up this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We bless you today, Lord, that we didn't have any damage on our building today with the storms from last night and yesterday afternoon. We just pray that you'll bless us, the congregation. Bless the offering this morning, Lord. May you give us a good measure pressed down, and may it be shaken together and running over, Lord, that we can be blessed today, Lord, to fill your house and to fix the things that you're wanting in your house that are very nice and pleasant, Lord, that will attract people to come to the synagogue. So this morning, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for the blessings of life, and thank you for the blessings that we can bring our tithes and our offerings to your storehouse this morning. Shalom. So you can bring it now.
God knows our tears. Amen. And, you know, when we stand, as the scripture is just read in Ephesians, sometimes standing there's tears that come because we're standing because there's tears. And sometimes there's tears because we know just the intensity of the battle. But God says, we will surely reap in joy. And he gathers up every one of those tears, and he reaps them. He brings them into his heart. Amen.
Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Those who sow in tears shall surely bring them back, the captive ones of Zion.
Some time for worship now, and we'll, after the worship, we will do the Shelkin and I. So that gives you time if you want to partake where you're at and get you some juice and crackers. Then that'll give you an opportunity to go ahead and get that. So we're going to start our worship service right now, and after the table of the Lord, then I will bring the message for today. Thank you.
All right, let's all stand up.
She's going to sing now. I've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere. We've all been. You and me have been everywhere. Hallelujah. And we can do some dancing if we have.
Do that. I've been everywhere, man.
If we get the chords together, we'll do it.
All right.
Come on, let's go up to Zion. You want to?
Yeah, let's go.
Would you like to go?
Let's go.
Say, let's go.
Let's go.
Oh. You don't sound too excited about it. Here we go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Come, let us go up to Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Come on, let's go.
Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have not come to a desert mountain, but you have come to the living God. You have come to the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone.
Come on, let's go.
Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have come to the judge of the ages, to Yeshua and through his blood. You have come to the place of the firstborn and to the righteous one.
go up to Zion, Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion,
Zion.
Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Come, let us go up to Zion,
Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion,
Zion.
Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mimizrah.
Shemeshad Beo. Mimizrah.
Mimizrah.
Shemeshad Beo. Me'ulah. Shem'adonai. Me'ulah. Shem'adonai. Mimizrah.
Mimizrah.
Shemeshad Beo. Me'ulah. Shem'adonai. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. The name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Yahishamadonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yahishamadonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody together. Oh, Mimizrah. Shemeshad Mevorah. Mimizrah. Shemeshad Mevorah. Me'ulah. Shem'adonai. Me'ulah. Shem'adonai. Mimizrah. Shemeshad Mevorah. Me'ulah. Shem'adonai. Yishamadonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yishamadonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, Yishamadonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yishamadonai, Mevorah, Mevorah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just worship you. We just love you. We just lift you up. We praise you. The word says that that are the praises of Israel. God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. And so what makes him is enthroned is our praises. Amen. So if you want him to be enthroned, we need to praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of our high praise. He is worthy of the demonstration of our joy to him. Hallelujah. And there's no other name by which men can be saved. And that's why we praise him. Because we have such a future. Amen. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free. As I have never known, I found in the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. This is what my heart and soul and tongue.
which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captives set free, and forgiven. Such love as I have never known, I found in the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. This is why my heart and soul and which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captives set free and forgiven. Forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me rest. And I adore you. Let us adore the ever-living God and render to his glory is revealed from heavens above.
Who am I to be part of your people, the ones that are called by your name? Could I be chosen as one of your own? Could it be that your blood is the same? How can a stranger, a remnant of nations, belong to this royal land? You showed your grace when the branches were broken, and I grafted into the vine. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is thee, the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of the Lamb. Your life is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Jesus, the veil secret is known. Now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch.
That's what I get for thinking on my own. That's why Carol keeps me straight back here. Thank you. Sorry. Okay, we're going to come before the table of the Lord this morning. And I sort of put it together up here. Hopefully it's okay. It's a little different than we normally, but we were getting started this morning, so we didn't get around to fixing it. So we're going to talk a little bit about you know, the things that changed Passover, you know, when Yeshua, on the Passover that he presided over, that we just celebrated, you know, the Passover changed the way it was. The prayer changed, and the meaning of Passover changed forever. And we're going to talk a little about that this morning, and a little bit about Yom Kippur and how that also changed with Yeshua's death, how that changed into things that took place. I won't speak very long, but it'll just be reiterate a little bit on it. But you know, and I won't get into that right now. But we'll go ahead and start this morning the table of the Lord, and I'll go ahead and bless the emblems, and then I'll just go ahead and serve. You can come up and get your juice. If somebody will take Bill some juice and some matzah, that we would appreciate that. That way he won't have to have to struggle to get up here this morning. Okay, so we're going to, you know, of course, Yeshua, he took the cup, and this was the cup that changed Passover forever. It was no longer just about Moses, even though Moses is mentioned, but it became the cup that Yeshua blessed, and the cup that became our redemption was for that cup. And he said, this is my cup. This is the cup which represents my blood that will be shed for you and for the remission of your sins. And so I'll bless it this morning, and then I'll do the bread, and you can come. Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Borei Peri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua is the true fruit of the vine. And he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body which will be broken for you. And he was telling them what was going to take place just a short time after they ate the meal, and he blessed the bread. He would go in and be taken as a prisoner and beaten, and eventually would be sacrificed on the executioner's stake. And so he lifted it and he blessed it. He said, Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, HaMotzi Lekim Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. So this morning, if you all would just come on, I'll serve you this morning as we take the bread and the juice. Everyone's finished. We'll start the message. It's actually this week's Torah, which is I'll just expand a little bit on it this morning. So we'll have that. It's called Kedoshim, and that means holy. Kedoshim means to be holy, and it comes from Leviticus chapter 19 through Leviticus chapter 20. And the half Torah is from the book of Amos. Or Amos, depending on how you want to say it, chapter 9, verses 7 through 15. It talks about being holy, and we sort of talked a little about it last week with that Torah portion, and we're just going to just talk a bit more about that, you know, and it's about being holy, and God has called us to be a group of holy people that are holy unto God. That's His desire, is that we would be holy unto Him. And you know, whether you know it or not, but the day is coming when Yeshua comes, and he will rule for 1,000 years, and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. They won't be Satan won't have his way to trick people and get people to do things that are what they really don't want to do, but he convinces you through whatever means that he has, and he's very tricky, and he doesn't try to overpower you. Usually he just tries to start real small. I think there's a verse in the scripture that says, you know, he just nibbles on the tender vine that sticks the fence. He just nibbles a little bit, and he just gets a beachhead, and then he's able to build from that, and as things happen, it begins to grow. And so that's why God is calling us to be holy, because say, well, why do you all keep going over the Torah each week and covering the same things? Because some of the Torah portions, it's a repeat, because God wants us to make sure we understand what His Word is and what He is asking us, He's wanting us to do. So we repeat things in various books that are in the Torah. But God is calling us again to be a holy people, dedicated and surrendered unto Him. And that's what Yeshua is going to do when He comes. Whether you realize it or not, the people here and the people that are believers will once again be fulfilling these roles that are in the scriptures, like Aaron and Moses and the Kohen and the priests, the Levites. We will still be having offering sacrifices during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's going to come back. The sacrifice will come back, and God's going to need people like us today to fulfill those roles and to be a part of that, taking part of the celebration of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And so, you know, we previously talked about, you know, God tells us in His Word that there is no remission of sin unless there is the shedding of blood. And God always required the shedding of blood, and it always required, I believe God instituted that long before He ever created the universe or the earth as we know it today. That was the plan way before that all began. And so God has always required the blood of an innocent animal. And it had to be an animal that you were acquainted with. You couldn't run out in the woods and catch some wild animal and bring it in. God wanted something that was close to you, because that's what the Korbanot, the sacrifice, is about. It's about, and that's what Korbanot means. It means to draw close. And that's what the sacrifice was. It was to draw close to God. And not only did you have to go, when you went into the temple and you went to the sacrifice, you had to go through a way. It was called the way. And there was where the altar, the sacrifice was. And that's where the priest would tell you to put your hands upon the animal and confess your sins. You had to tell what you had done that was evil, wrong, whatever it was, and because there's no difference of sin. Sin is sin. Sin is a violation of the Torah. So there were 613 mitzvahs in the Torah that tells us about how God is wanting us to live our life. That's what it's about. That's what the Torah is about. It's how God is wanting us to live, to be holy and consecrated unto Him. That's what He's looking for. And so previously we talked about the different types of sacrifice. The first one that I want to mention, and we've talked about these previously, is the olah. That was the burnt sacrifice, where everything was completely burnt. And the next one was the shalim, which was a peace sacrifice. That was the second type of sacrifice. The third sacrifice, Katat, and that was the sacrifice because of sin. And the fourth one was the Asham. That is the guilt sacrifice. And that is the sacrifice that God's word requires. A 20% offering, or a payment of 20%, was added to the life or to the animal that was sacrificed. So it was an example. Again, sacrifices was examples of Yeshua and the things that he was coming to do as he was sacrificed on the altar of the tree thousands of years later. This, you know, this goes way back before Yeshua came. And then there's the one offering that was the Terah Duma. That was the offering of the red heifer, and that sacrifice, and that was the cleansing of the people so that you could go into the temple and worship. And that's the sacrifice that Yeshua, when he comes, he is going to preside over the Paraduma, because he was sacrificed like the Paraduma outside the temple gate, because all the other sacrifices had to occur at the temple. They couldn't occur outside the temple. Only the sacrifice of Yeshua and the Paraduma, which is a shadow of him, and that's the purification process. He will preside over that. And so that is to purify us so that the red heifer is burned in the ashes, and the water are used to sprinkle the people so you can go into the temple of God and worship God. That's the purpose of the Paraduma. And that day's coming. Israel now is trying to invent animal husbandry the perfect red heifer cow, because that's a big sign in Israel with the rabbis that they've had several red heifers that they thought were the ones that, and it has to be up to 3 years old, and it can't have been worked, and it has to be totally red. It can't have any different colored hair or anything like that on it. And they thought they've had them several years and several times, but they have never, it's always not been found that cow was kosher, in that it was blemished or had things that did not make it kosher. So they've moved on, and they're still trying to create or develop a red heifer. And again, but why would the sacrifices only take place in Jerusalem, in the temple? It was because with the people that sacrificed the pagans, you see, they sacrificed out in the open fields, or they would sacrifice where there were trees, or they would sacrifice up on the top of the mountains so they could get closer to their gods. But the original Temple Mount and was the place that there was no trees. It was cleared. But now in Jerusalem, if you in Jerusalem and go to what we call is the Temple Mount, they're still trying to figure out exactly where was the Temple Mount at. You know, they found things down in the city of David, which is down from the Temple Mount. Excuse me, that believe us to believe that maybe the Temple Mount was down there, because the way they did those things, they would just build on top of each other as they built things. They have found some things, but the pagans do that, and it had to be in Jerusalem, and at the temple is why we worship there. Excuse me, just a moment. And so that's why God wanted the sacrifices to be done there in his holy city where he is at. And you know, with the Yom Kippur, which is most about what this is about, because of the thing that God has. And the high priest, because Aaron was the first high priest, and he was the one that was chosen, and he would be the one. We're talking about what would have happened then. Thank you, Diane. All of a sudden, it's okay. Thank you. It won't hurt it. I'll get it later. Thank you. Thank you. He was one that they would select the goat. The two goats were chosen. You see this in, because the Passover and Yom Kippur have the two animals, because if you look at with Yeshua, when he was staying before his executioners, they basically cast lots for him, because they said, you know, will you let this sinless man go who's done nothing wrong? Are you going to crucify him? Are you going to let him go? Because the law, they said, permits us to let one person go and not be murdered. Is basically what it was. And but they had Barabbas, and his name, actually, if you go back and historically look, he had the same name as Jesus, because that was a very common temple name that was given to people that in Jerusalem in that period of history. But so they said, of course, let Barabbas go and crucify this man who calls himself the Son of God. And so you know how that went, and they cast a lot, and it was to Jesus or Yeshua. It's just like when he came in to Jerusalem on what they celebrate now is Palm Sunday. That was the selection of the lamb for Passover. That was on the 14th of Nisan. That's when you picked the lamb. They had 4 days. He came in on, you picked the lamb on the 10th, and then you sacrificed on the 14th. So when he came into Jerusalem, they had 4 days to inspect him to see, just like the lamb, is this the lamb that we're going to sacrifice? And so that's what that's all about. It's not really called in Judaism Palm Sunday, but it's the 14th of, it would have been the 10th through the 14th when you select the lamb and then you sacrifice the lamb. And so the priest, while the two goats were waiting in the courtyard, the priest would come down and he would cast lots over the two goats. And one of the goats were actually both sin offerings, because both of the goats eventually died on Yom Kippur. And again, Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. It's when the holiest man of history lived, and the holiest place was in Jerusalem, that all that took place. And so the hatat, or the sin offering, was on. There was a lot that was cast on behalf of the people, and that was the offering that was called El Adonai, which means unto the Lord. In other words, that was an offering or a sacrifice that was made for the people, unto the Lord, and that's why it was designated such as that. And that was the goat that was sacrificed, and that was the goat that when they did the casting of the lots, the lot for the El Adonai goat always fell in the right hand of the priest. It always happened in the right hand, and we'll talk a little bit about how that changed later on. And then the priest would take the blood, and of course it was sprinkled upon the kippur, upon the mercy seat. And when he went this time and took the offering of the goat for the people, that would have been his third trip into the Holy of Holies. So we're just, it's all numbers, so you know a bit of that, because the priest went more than one time. A lot of people have told me, no, he only made the one trip, but he made four trips into the Holy of Holies before God. So that was quite an ordeal, going one time before the presence of God, knowing that you could die at an instant, but having to go four times gives you a lot more chance to make a mistake or do something that was wrong. And a lot of people say, well, why do they all wear white and all that with all that blood? Well, the white was only for pureness, but also in the scripture it says not to mix wool with cotton, because in this period of time, they didn't have air conditioning. So when they made the sacrifice and they took the blood, if you were sweating, and it could have been a very hot day, and if the sweat got into the blood sacrifice, God would not accept it. So if the priest took it in, he wouldn't accept it, and he would strike the priest dead. So God would not accept the offering unless it was pure. So that's why the priest always wore the white cotton, was to make it as comfortable as they could be. And a lot of people don't realize, but when you with all the sacrifice, the Korbanot system that was in Jerusalem in that period of time, you can only imagine the blood that was shed on that Temple Mount. It was a nonstop process. It was a nonstop process. And they found tunnels there in Jerusalem where the blood would run down from the tunnels out off the Temple Mount wall, or at the Temple Mount, and go out into the outer areas, into water and stuff. And that's how much sacrifice was going on. It was a bloody place to see. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of sacrifice. You had thousands of people coming with animals and goats and bulls and lambs and birds and all that kind of thing. So it's quite a spectacle to think about how much sacrifice was going on. But God really didn't, his word said he didn't really cherish the sacrifice, but he wants us to obey what he wants. That's his, He didn't desire sacrifice, but he wants us to be obedient unto his word. Okay, the second goat, the high priest would lay hands on it, and that was the goat that was called, that was actually for Hasatan, which is Satan, and it was called the goat that was called Azazel, and that the one that is the accusing goat. And they would take a red cord or a piece of red cloth, and they would cut a portion off. They would tie it to the horn of the male goat. And that goat was taken off into the wilderness, and it would be pushed off of a cliff, and they would have sentries out into the outlying areas that would watch to confirm when the goat died. And there was a reason for that, because that goat had to die also, because that goat was the sins, just like Yeshua. He took the goat, takes the sins at that particular time in history, and so did Yeshua. He took the sins for everyone that ever lived up until that time, all the people who have lived since that time, and all the people who've not yet even been born yet. There's still, as long as this world lasts, there will be people born, and you can just imagine how many people are going to come after us into this world that we live in. I mean, it's going to be, it's unbelievable how many they will be. But that was the Azazel goat, and they would put the cloth on the goat, and I'll go into you a little bit about the cloth just in a moment, but they would take a portion off and they would tie it to the door of the Mishkan, which is the door of the tabernacle. And then on the fourth entrance in there was the final entrance into the Holy of Holies, and the avod, or the work of Yom Kippur, would have ended there, and that would have been when the high priest would have went back in to, and each time they went back and forth, they had to bathe and change clothes. And so the fourth trip was a trip where the priest would go back into the Holy of Holies, and he would take the spoon and the pan with the incense, the ketoret, he would take the incense, and he would bring it back out of the Holy of Holies. And then Yom Kippur would have been finalized at that point. And I'll mention the final part of it. But you can imagine when he had to take the ketoret in there with the offering, a lot of people say, well, how did he carry fire in the spoon and the bucket with the fire and the incense? Because he had to carry the incense in one hand. I believe he carried part of it in his teeth. I think part of it was carried in his teeth, because he only had two hands, so he couldn't put the incense in with the fire until he got in there, and he had to ignite the incense, and he had to wait. And you have to remember, the Holy of Holies was not a gigantic room like this. I think it was, what, 10 by 10 or something. It wasn't a gigantic place, because the poles that carried the Ark of the Covenant out actually stuck out from the end of the room. It stuck out from the tent there, so it wasn't a gigantic room. But he had to wait there until the presence of God came into the Holy of Holies, and it is said that God's presence dwelt between the two cherubim's wings that was in there. And it's not a great big span, but God's presence was there in the middle of that Kippur there that God had Moses develop and build on what he had asked him to do. And so he had to wait. He had to stand there and wait until the smoke filled the room so he would not see God. Because God says, when you see me, just like Aaron's two sons, they instantly died. And that's why God says you can't move until the offering of the incense has permeated the room, and I can come in and you won't see me and you can go out. So let me just read a bit of scripture about that. It says, and it is a statute, it's called a hoke, and to every and forever olam, with that on the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month of Tishrei, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work. That's what Yom Kippur is about. It's an affliction of not eating, bathing, in praying unto God on that particular day. For on this day shall atonement, a kapar, will be made to you to cleanse you. You shall be clean, tahor, before the Lord your God from your sins. It is a Shabbat of solemn rest unto you. It's a holy convocation. It's a Shabbat, Shabbaton, and you shall afflict yourselves in a statute forever. That is a hukat olam. That means forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated as a priest in his father's place shall make atonement wearing the holy linen garments. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, the Mikdash Hokadesh, and he shall make atonement for the tent of the meeting and for the people of the assembly. So that was the offering that was made for all of the people. And this shall be a statute forever. It is a kukat olam. It is a forever statute that God has acquired. You know, people can say, well, it's not part of us now, but God says it is forever. So, you know, if you don't follow what he tells you, then you're not doing what he wants. It is atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year for all those sins. And it says Moses did as the Lord commanded, and that's in Leviticus. And so God, that was that God had gave the mitzvah, that, you know, once a year. That's why the two sons perished, because it was the wrong time, the wrong day, the wrong offering, and they went into the presence of God, and they saw God, and he consumed them within their clothes. Their clothes were not burnt. They were consumed from inside out, and they had to take them out and bury them. So I've already mentioned about that. And just some more scripture about Leviticus. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for you and for your soul. For the blood is that makes atonement for life. So it required the atonement of the blood to keep you living, because that was the once a year. You know, 2 days after Yom Kippur, if you sinned, well, you had to wait a whole year because you couldn't go back. You can make your own atonement and sacrifice, but as far as Yom Kippur, it was only once a year. But again, God, it was telling us and them back then in the scriptures, the one time, that was the shadow of Yeshua. He was the sacrifice that was made for the one time. He don't have to be. A lot of people think, well, he's got to be sacrificed every day. No, he doesn't. He sacrificed that one time. Emphasis of Yom Kippur, because it was once a year, which tells me that Yeshua came and was sacrificed the one time. And that was the purpose of that. And so we see that, and this is just some things I took from the Talmud, and that is the oral talking about the things of the Torah that these ancient rabbis have put together, and it's in what's called a Talmud, I guess, where you really pronounce it. And here's a couple of things from the Talmud that this Rabbi Shimon HaHazik wrote thousands of years ago, and it tells you how much that it aligns with God's words, what their interpretation was of the things that they saw that was going on. It says the Talmud has some interesting things in it, and also it relates to some miracles that we see that happened in the scriptures. Because these came after Yeshua's sacrifice on the executioner's stake, because we find that this happened, you know, 40 years later, the temple was destroyed and the artifacts was carried away except for the Ark of the Covenant. It was taken away. But these are things that happened right after Yeshua was sacrificed, up until the temple was destroyed. And, you know, of course, when Yeshua was sacrificed, the parakeet, that was the large thing like this right here, this curtain that covered the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a very heavy place. I read a very heavy cloth. It was several inches thick, and they had multiple ones because with the sacrifices and the tossing of the blood, they would get damaged. You might say, well, what kept insects from coming in? It was the incense that was constantly burned. The bugs would not come in where the blood was at because of the incense. So God was pretty on top of everything, how to keep it clean and not have it defiled with animals or insects coming in. Probably animals too would have come in. But that's why. But when Yeshua died, the parakeet was ripped. But it wasn't, you know, normally if I was going to tear this, I would probably start at the bottom. I probably couldn't tear it, but if I tried to, I would start at the bottom. But the scripture tells us the parakeet was rendered from the top to the bottom. So it's a little different. And, you know, and why did God want to render it? Well, there was a couple of reasons. That was traditional Judaism, was the fact when someone died, they would rip their clothes and put ashes as a way of mourning, as an emphasis of mourning. But also the parakeet, when God ripped it apart, it represented the fact that we now, with the death of Yeshua and his sacrifice, we had access to the throne of grace. Remember, before that, the priest had to go in behind that parakeet and make the offering for you. You couldn't go in yourself. It took the priest. He was the one that was chosen, and he only had the one time to go in, and he had to get it right, and he had to go in four times to make sure that he didn't mess something up or the blood became defiled. But that's what God's saying. You don't need someone to go. You don't need anybody anymore to go on your behalf for your sins and for your redemptive process. So that was the purpose of the parakeet. Not only was God saying, my son has died, has been sacrificed, but it also meant that we now have direct access to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to have somebody else go. You don't have to have someone go for you and say, this guy here sinned last week, and would you forgive him? Do that yourself. You have control over that. And that was the purpose of it. Before Yeshua, that's why so many things changed in God's word, because the things that were there were just shadows of the ultimate sacrifice that was going to happen many years later. This had been going on for many years before Yeshua came, and it's still going on today. But a lot of, there again, people don't recognize his sacrifice upon the executioner's stake. And so after Yeshua, then, of course, the parakeet was torn apart, and so the next year. After Yeshua ascended, was sacrificed, he died, he arose from the grave, he ascended back to heaven, he was seen by many people in various parts of the city. They knew that he was alive, and he tells them, you know, to stay until the next feast for power on high, and that's the next feast that we will be observing, Shavuot, which is, a lot of people know it more as Pentecost. That's coming in a few weeks. But what was interesting, that if you read in the Talmud, you will find that the lot of the Lord, which is El Adonai, the lot that was supposed to fall in the right hand fell in the left hand, which had never happened before. And we're talking thousands of years. And on that year after Yeshua, when they cast the lot, it fell in the left hand rather than the right hand. So that's in the Talmud. They were saying, what happened? What caused it to change? They didn't see the sacrifice of Yeshua. That's why they didn't understand the fact that the sacrifice was for all mankind. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. And the crimson cord, the strap that was placed on the door of the on the temple door, when they would send the Azazel goat off, they had runners stationed throughout the trip, and they took it way out into the country, let's say, and they would shove it off a cliff, and they would certify that the goat had died, and the people that were waiting would bring word back to the temple that the Azazel goat had died. And before they could get there, the cloth on the temple door would automatically be white. And that was God's way of saying, the sacrifice and the atonement has been accepted by me. You know, and so after that happened, after the death of Yeshua, that cloth never changed from red. It stayed red from then on up until the destruction of the temple. So it stayed red for 40 years. They never connected the two dots, if I can use that term. They never connected the sacrifice of Yeshua. And while all of a sudden these things started changing that had been that way for centuries. And so that, you know, it was another thing that happened, the Neralite that we've got up here, the Neralite, that was actually the Shamash. It always, during Yom Kippur, the day after, that Neralite always burnt. The other part of the menorah would go out, but the Neralite was always burning the next morning, and they used that to reignite the menorah. But after the death of Yeshua, when they went back in that next year to get the Neralite and light the menorah, it was out. The candle had burnt out. It didn't burn anymore. It didn't automatically burn anymore or continue to burn. And that you can find that if you have access to the Talmud. That's in a part that's called Yoma 39.B. So that's for it. And so for 40 years, the lot for Azazel went into the left hand, and they didn't understand that. And of course, you know, with Yom Kippur, after the death of Yeshua, the Yom Kippur, it changed, because after the 40 years, you know, they didn't have the sacrifice anymore. They stopped sacrificing because they no longer had the temple. And so things changed with the presence of Yeshua. And the string on the goat didn't turn white either. So that changed too. And it was, you know, it was strange that those things changed, but God was telling them something changed everything. Something happened when my son died that changed how we do Yom Kippur and also Passover, because it changed. It was no longer about Moses. It was about God's son and the breaking of the bread, his body, and the drinking of the juice. The wine represented his body, represented his blood, which was shed for the sins of many. And so that was, you know, without the white cord, they assumed their atonement was not complete. And that's what God's saying. It's already been made. It's already been done. And you don't have to go off through all this. You don't have to tie the string. My son has already died. And you can be, if you accept him and his cleansing blood, then your sins will be white as snow, just like the cloth that was hanging on the door. So it's very interesting. And another thing that happened that is in a part that's called the Sota 6.3, that the temple door, the doors to the temple would just automatically open and close, just like the wind was blowing. And these were big doors, but they would open and close without anybody like pulling them open or shutting them. You know, that was found by this rabbi wrote this up in the Talmud, and his name was Jochan Bo Zakkai. And he says that all these things was a sign unto the Israel of the impending doom that was going to come. And this was in between that period of 40 years from Yeshua up into 70 AD when the temple was overran and destroyed. He was saying these are signs that the temp that we are hinging on impending doom. And it's just like, you know, I was thinking this week when I was reading about this and studying it, how the United States is just like what was going on back then. They saw the signs, but they didn't understand them. They didn't connect what God was saying. And that's sort of like we are today with everything that's going on. I think God's judgment is grinding, coming closer and closer to the United States, because, you know, we're with the current thing with Congress, or not maybe with Congress, but with the Supreme Court and abortion, all that. That's causing quite a stir. But I was saying earlier, excuse me, today that a famous person made a statement, and a lot of people are bragging about having an abortion. People do have a choice. You have a choice to be right, or to choice to be left. You know, you have a choice if you want to go to heaven, and if you don't want to go to heaven, then your choice is to go to hell. And that is, we are a free moral agent. You can make that decision yourself. You don't have to have someone going like behind the curtain to take your sin offering before God. You can do that yourself. But again, that is your decision that you can make on your own. If you want, you know, if you don't choose Yeshua, then you've made a decision whether you realize it or not. And people don't realize you're making it by not making a decision. You're really making a decision, and you're going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And I always tell people, the door to hell is locked on the inside. It's not locked on the outside. It's locked on the inside. The doorkeeper has the key, and it's locked on the inside. So you can't get somebody to come and get you out. You're there for all eternity. And how long is all eternity? I have no idea. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. All the evers and evers, it keeps going. Forever and ever. But Ezekiel 22 tells us, indicates that Israel's failing to obey the Torah would invoke the judgment of God. And that's where we're at right now. I think the judgment of God is already upon us as a nation. Because you see, Yeshua was the high Mashiach. He was the high priest. He is the ultimate Kohen HaGadol. That is Yeshua. All the things that we see in the scriptures up into his death and resurrection were telling us about the earthly things that were going to be a shadow of what was to come, that God is telling us to secure an eternal redemption in those who trust in him. That's what you must. His death on the executioner's stake, the shedding of his blood, was for the perfect sacrifice for the penalty of sins committed under the Torah. Because when you commit sins under the Torah, death is the ultimate sentence. That's what it was. You see, with the first covenant that Moses was involved in, the innocent animals were sacrificed and had to be killed and brought from to cover the person that the sin was for. It was a life for a life. That's where it actually began. Tells us in Hebrews 8 chapter 8 verse 5, and I'm almost finished here, I just got a little bit more. It says the blood of bulls and goats don't remove the sin, it only covers the sin. That's why it's called a kapor, a kapor. That is just a covering. And when you take the cover off, just like with the moth and the juice this morning, it's there, and when you put it back over it, you don't see it anymore. And that's what the first covenant was telling us, that the sacrifice, the blood and goats and animals only covered the sin. It did not remove the sin. And that's what Hebrews 8:5 says. And there's only one, and as Hebrews 8:5 says, it only covered one time. That's the only time your sins were covered in the biblical period, was when on Yom Kippur. And that was the only time that your sins were covered on that day. The next day, If you sinned, then you had to wait another year to get your sins covered. It's just like a testament, a will. See, Yeshua is the tester. And it says God Almighty put into effect that at Yeshua's death. That was put into effect. It's like a will or a testament. The heirs to the will receive eternal forgiveness for your sins. So we are heirs to the testament. The tester that Yeshua, and you know, if you know anything about a will, it's not enough. It's only just a piece of paper until the person passes away, and then the will is read and the things that the person wanted are done. And that's what God is saying. Yeshua is the tester, and so with him, you receive your reward, and that's what it's all about. It's about the heirs. You are a joint heir with Yeshua, and we will receive the total eternal forgiveness for our sins when he returns. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verse 12 tells us that he who shares a calling of God, consider Yeshua the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as man was also faithful in the things of God. So God is calling us to be faithful. And you know, in a way, in just to close this thing here, Leviticus 17 agrees with Hebrews 9:22 that, you know, the Yeshua is the high priest, because without the shedding of blood, again, there is no remission of sins. And that is in the oral Torah that is in that I just mentioned about. It's in the part that's called Yoma 5a. And it says there, these ancient rabbis wrote, and they spoke it, that there's no atonement. There's no covering for sin without the blood. You have to have, centuries ago they were writing that, without the blood, there is no atonement of sin. So it's a substitute. The blood of the animal was a substitute for the person. It was their life for your life. And that's how God had planned that. And just to close this morning, you know, the Holy of Holies, you know, when they would take it in, they would sprinkle the blood. I think they flicked it seven times upon the altar, upon the Kippur there, the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies, that it was sprinkled. And God, if leave out of there alive, and those other things happen, if the other things happen, they would make sure that the cloth turned white. It meant that God's atonement for the people have been accepted, so your sins are forgiven. But it's great today to know that you don't have to go through all that. It's already been done, so it's redemption is free if you want to accept it. But if you don't, then if you die without the blood, that's what God is going to, just like on Passover back in Egypt, they put the blood on the door and on the mantle and on the side doors, and God said, when I see the blood, I'll for you. And that's exactly what's going to happen in judgment. You're going to all be stand before judgment, but God, through Yeshua, we will be passed over. You'll have no eternal damnation. You'll have eternal life forever in heaven with Yeshua. So that is the message for this morning. Thank you all for listening to me. Hope I didn't wander too bad. I've been wandering all week. I don't know. Sort of get out of place sometimes. So this morning, if you will rise up, we'll do the Kohen blessing, and you all will be dismissed for the rest. I don't know if it's raining or not, but I hope you have a blessed afternoon. And just remember the prayer that, remember Rabbi, he's going to be traveling in the morning, well, sometime tomorrow maybe. I don't know if it's in the morning or not. But him and Don, Rebs and Don, are going to be traveling. So he requests us to pray for him. So stay and spend some time in prayer with him, over him today and tomorrow. And just that the plane flight will be easy and he can get a great big seat. Maybe they'll put him in first class. I don't know. Let's pray they get a first class seat and he's able to stretch his legs out and he won't be cramped up and have to fly in pain. So the Lord, this is what, God, when he told Moses, he said, this is how you will tell Aaron and all the Kohens, this is how you will bless my people when you come before them. And when I hear this prayer, I will come and I will bless you. So it's the Kohen blessing. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yor Adonai panavelecha. Vikunika Isa Adonai Panabaleka Vayasimlaka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua the HaMashiach, our coming soon coming King and Son of God. Shabbat shalom. Have a great week. Great day. Have a good week. Shabbat shalom.